Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in a very happy Wednesday, now December the 4th here, 2024. Hard to believe, but yep, that is where we are at. And that will include a 56-game slate in college basketball here tonight, headlined by, well, a bunch of Final Four caliber style games. We got Auburn at Duke at Cameron Indoor. We got Alabama at North Carolina. Not to mention Pitt versus Mississippi State. How about Kansas and Creighton? And oh yeah, one of our favorite matchups here tonight. The Baylor Bears on the road taking on the suddenly struggling UConn Huskies in Storrs, Connecticut here tonight. So needless to say, a huge night in college basketball. We'll start breaking down these games for you coming up. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by here on the Sports Grid Network. We also have a big week, week 14 in college. In the NFL. In fact, we got a big game coming up tomorrow night to kick it all off. Little Thursday night action. And who doesn't love any time that we can get a Thursday night football game that features, well, two of the best teams in the NFL, the Lions at Ford Field hosting the Green Bay Packers. Looking very forward to this game tomorrow night. Lions, a little more than a field goal favorite here. We did see this game, of course, back in October, and it was a Jordan Love pick six that really was the difference in that game. It was a game, of course, that the Lions won and covered, and now the Packers, maybe a little bit different version of the Packers, definitely a little healthier Jordan Love than what we got in the first game, but a lot on the line there as the Packers coming in 9-3, the Lions 11-1 on the season. We got a lot to discuss in this week 14 of the NFL slate. And of course, it is the final week of the college football regular season. Can you believe it? We have gotten here finally, and that means it is conference championship week, which means we've got a whole lot of college football still, not just this weekend, but the college football playoff rankings were released yesterday. And boy, oh boy, a lot of head scratching going on as guess who is lurking around waiting for the outcome of the ACC championship game? If you guessed the Alabama Crimson Tide, you are correct. And Nick Saban, not even in the building. So we can't blame the Nick Saban effect here. Maybe it's the Kalen DeBoer effect, or maybe it's that Alabama football is likely to make more money for the networks and for the schools and for the sponsors than really pretty much, oh, I don't know, team like SMU. The problem is, Alabama's going to need SMU to win that game against Clemson, because as they sit right around that 12-13 spot, they need Clemson not to win, because if Clemson wins, SMU is already ranked high enough where they're going to make it. And that means that Clemson will have to make it then as the champion of the ACC, which means, sorry, a three-loss Alabama team will not make the college football top 12 playoff. But if SMU holds serve, they're already ranked in the top 12. They will make it, which means, that's right, all of Alabama will be rooting for SMU here, as Crimson Tide Nation got a lot on the line here in a game they're not even playing in. Maybe with a little bit of luck, Alabama will get it done. But what a game that I think is going to be with Clemson and SMU. Maybe the least bet game so far from what we see across the board in the marketplace. That might all change, of course, as we get a little bit closer to kickoff. But I can tell you this, there may be no bigger game on the board than that one there as far as playoff seeding goes and actually making it. So will Dabo Swinney do the unthinkable and make it from getting absolutely boat raced in the first game against Georgia, losing a couple of games they probably shouldn't have lost, but ultimately they control their own destiny. You beat SMU, you win the ACC, and you are in the first 12-team college football playoff. I would love somebody to explain to me how it is we're going to get less than 56.5 points in that game. I think it's going to be one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. And it'll all kick off with three games on Friday. Don't forget the American Athletic Conference with Army taking on Tulane. That should be a whole lot of fun keeping tabs on that. And don't forget, we got plenty of NBA action going on tonight. We only got four games in the NHL, but we do have some interesting matchups there. And we'll talk to our good friend coming up here, George Kurtz, who will lay it out as Boston and Chicago are going to drop the puck in about an hour. You got Nashville and Toronto, Dallas and the Kings, and the late game will be Vegas taking on Anaheim. NBA tonight, handful of games, some interesting back-to-back spots. Boston getting ready to take on Detroit, Indy taking on Brooklyn, Miami hosting the Lakers. This is going to be an interesting one as LeBron James catching an awful lot of heat for maybe losing to Father Time right now. And boy, what's what happened? When that clock turns 40, it's kind of hard to be playing in an 82-game schedule in an NBA season. And the play of LeBron has certainly not been what we are used to. Now, the good news is they're taking on a Miami team that is barely 500, not 500, in fact, and plays less than a 500 team. Will Jimmy play? Will Jimmy not play? Those are some of the questions we're looking at. And then, of course, Orlando, who got boat raced by the Knicks last night, they're going to try to get back on track against the Philadelphia Sixers. Atlanta, now all of a sudden, folks just discounting Atlanta, but Atlanta over the last couple of weeks got very healthy, and they have the team that they thought they would have originally to start the year, and they are good. There is no mistaking. The Atlanta Hawks are a very good team. They'll take on a Milwaukee Bucks team who also got pretty good, got pretty healthy, smoked Detroit last night, 128-107 in that NBA Cup action. They secured a 4-0 record in the tournament, and now the Milwaukee Bucks are advancing here to the quarterfinals. And then Minnesota, who has not had the kind of start to the season that they had hoped they would get, they are going to take on the LA Clippers, who once again handled their business last night in a big way. Now the Minnesota Timberwolves, though, not home, on the road. They have had some struggles, though. The Clippers in Inglewood, California, are going to try to limit them as best as possible. Clippers 127-105 victory over Portland last night. No Norman Powell here tonight, though, which is always a problem for the Clippers and their scoring chances. Boy, does that smell like a, feel like an under in a big, big way. But we'll talk plenty of NBA, getting ready for tip-off in what is a monster college basketball night. We have got you covered as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And joining us here tonight on this light slate, but some interesting games, is George Kurtz, our good friend here, to talk about some of these matchups here tonight, Kurtz. And welcome in, my man. It's been an interesting start to the NHL season. A lot of, feels like a lot of streaky teams. They win a bunch of games, they lose a bunch of games. There's not a lot of consistency so far, but we do have a couple of games here tonight, like the Bruins and the Blackhawks, that two teams, I mean, how do you even bet the Blackhawks at this point after, what, 8 wins now? I guess if you're going to bet the Bruins, you got to think things are going to turn around after the Montgomery situation. But really, the Blackhawks, is that who I'm betting here tonight?
Betting the Blackhawks, I mean, they're a little bit of a better bet now than they were, let's say, 3 weeks ago. Connor Bedard is scoring, right? Taylor Hall's found his game a little bit here. So I think we can feel a little bit better about it. The Bruins, Joe, you mentioned, since they fired the head coach, right? They have gotten the new head coach bump, all right? They're playing better. This is not the Bruins of, let's say, 2-3 years ago who were a Stanley Cup contender. They're a good team. You know, Pastrnak, Marchand, McAvoy. You still have other good goaltending there, but they're not quite the team they were. And now we're 2 months in. All right, things should be settled now. You know, so we're still waiting for the Bruins to become the Bruins here. I don't think they're a playoff team this year. That being said, I think if you're going to bet the game tonight, if you bet the Blackhawks, you're probably just thinking, I just want plus money, right? That sort of thing. The Bruins are better. You're only laying -144 with the Bruins here. I can't lay up the goal line. I'm not going +172. I'm going with the Bruins. They have been playing better. Give me the Bruins over the Blackhawks.
Oh, all right. Liking it. The Blackhawks are rested here. We'll see what if that means anything here. But what are we looking at with Nashville here and the Toronto Maple Leafs in this one? I don't know what to make of the Predators here. I really don't so far this season. What do you think we're going to get from them in this spot here? You know, Barry Trotz has got to be pulling his hair out at this point.
Yeah, I don't think Barry has much hair to pull out, but
That's a good point.
The Nashville Predators, I mean, you're probably talking, Joe, about the most disappointing team in the NHL to date here, or certainly top three. We thought with moves they made, they signed Stamkos, signed Marchessault, right? That, oh, my God, two players like that, and you were already a good team. Not to mention the trade you made, a trade the young goaltender, Scott, off to San Jose for a boatload of draft picks. You were sort of setting yourself up, not only for this season, but for the future as well. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. I mean, it could just be, Joe, that, hey, it takes teams or players time to gel. You know, Marchessault goes from Vegas to Nashville, Stamkos, Tampa Bay to Nashville. You know, you got to upend things and family and all like that and all that. So I could see it taking a toll, but it's been too long. I mean, they're 7-12-6, second to last in their division. You know, that's not what we expected here. It's not over for them, but keep in mind, by the way, if you're betting on the futures, about 75% of the teams that are in a playoff position on American Thanksgiving stay in that position, stay in the playoffs. So only, like I said, one of every four teams that's out of the playoffs is going to make the playoffs. They weren't in it as of last Thursday. Nashville wasn't in it. Are they going to be one of those teams? Maybe. But they play in a very tough division here. You got Colorado, who's also disappointed with playing better now. Dallas, Winnipeg, Minnesota. St. Louis and Utah is ahead of them as well. So, no, it's hard for me to like them for whatever way they're playing here. I'm going to go with Toronto tonight. Shocking, I know, here. They're playing better. They're at home. Austin Matthews is back. Scored a goal the other night. I think he gets on the board again tonight. I think Stamkos scores tonight as well, by the way. He's from Toronto. Right? That's where he was born. So he's going back home in a way here. So I'm going to play Austin Matthews and Stamkos anytime goal.
Yeah, well, I got to figure something out here, Nashville. This will be, I believe, their only game north of the border here in Toronto. So we'll see if it makes a difference. But you mentioned it, Leafs winners 6 of their last 7. That puck line number isn't that bad here. If you think it's going to get ugly in a hurry up there, Kurtz, that'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. But what are we thinking about with Dallas and L.A.? Another interesting game, since this will be the Stars, what, third game in 4 days? The Kings, I think, have had, what, 2 days of rest now? They were swept, though, in that season series last year. They lost all 3 matchups. You got to figure they don't want to lose another game here to Dallas, but can they actually win this game? What do you think?
I think they can for the reason you mentioned here. All right, it is their third game in four nights for the Stars. I mean, they're playing well. It's a very good team. They did get some bad news earlier today. Seguin, top six forward, second line center, sometimes not. He's out 4 to 6 months. Hip surgery. Listen, this is hockey. Hockey goes on forever, so he may not be out for the year, but 4 months puts us into March. 6 months puts you into the playoffs. So maybe he returns, maybe he does, depending on how deep a run they make into the playoffs, but that's a loss for them. So we'll see how they overcome that. But it's not a significant loss. It's not – you didn't lose Hintz, you didn't lose Robertson, one of your top players. You lose Seguin, a good player, helped the team, but they should be able to get by it. I'm going to go with the Kings tonight. I'm going to go with the rested team, and the Kings are not a bad team. Don't get me wrong. If everything was even, the Stars are a better team. All right, but the Kings, they're not a bad team. It's a good, solid team here. Rich is going to be in that tonight. He's played well. Give me the Kings over the Stars. Don't love it, but I'm going to take the rest of the team over the tired team.
Yeah, Seguin too. You mentioned it. 20 points in 19 games. Pretty big situation there. Dallas, by the way, a puck differential of plus 56 on the season. My goodness. Interesting here, but they just lost 20 points with Seguin there going down. That game feels very trappish here for Dallas, but so does the other late game, Kurtz, because off a big win last night, right, against Edmonton, what are we going to get from them here tonight against Anaheim here? It kind of feels a little trappy here for Vegas. What are you thinking we're going to get?
Well, it's definitely trappy. And Anaheim, by the way, you got to hand it to San Jose, Southern California. I don't even know. I don't think San Jose is Southern California. But San Jose, Anaheim, two afterthoughts in the past NHL seasons, they're much better this year. They're not playing.
Oh, man.
You're wrong. But they're not also Rams anymore, right? They're not bad. So I'm still in Vegas, mind you, but not an automatic.
All right, well, stay there, Kurtz. We'll be back here at
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. Joe and Ari alongside George Kurtz. And George, let's pick it up from that Vegas and Anaheim game coming up tonight on the ice, 10 o'clock Eastern time, that puck will drop. Definitely a trappy game given what Vegas did last night. Great home win over Edmonton. Aiden Hill was in goal last night. I don't think he's going here tonight, but Anaheim, to your point, you said it seems like Anaheim and San Jose last season were automatic fades. Not with Gibson now and not with this Anaheim team. So it feels like if I can get one and a half with Anaheim, maybe not be a bad look in this one.
I don't think it's a bad look at all. Normally, Joe, we like to pick on teams playing on the second half of back-to-back nights versus a team that didn't play last night, right? Because they're fresher, they have fresher legs. And Anaheim's a young team anyway. Now, listen, that was a big win for Vegas last night. You beat the Edmonton Oilers 1-0, and that goal held up by Barbashev early. So it's a huge win for Anaheim, who would have trouble starting games, right? They weren't playing well in the first period. And that's why I bet the Edmonton Oilers to win the first period last night. That didn't go well. Also had the over. I hated that game last night, come to think of it. But them's the breaks here. I do like Anaheim tonight, though. Like I said, this is not a terrible team here. They're not going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. It's a stacked Western Conference here. But this is not the an also-ran team. They're a 500 team right now. Think about it. They're 10-10-3. 500, last place. I mean, that's just the way it is right now. So I think they'll take care of business tonight. I would probably feel differently if Aiden Hill was going to be the goaltender. But as you said, it's expected to be Samsonov. I doubt they're going to play Hill back-to-back nights. So it will be Samsonov. So they get a little weaker in net here. Gibson has been named a starter for Anaheim. And by the way, I wonder if Gibson will be playing for another team in a couple of months because as much as I like Anaheim, he's not going to be with Anaheim when this team gets, truly is a playoff contender. You're on the back end of his career here. You should be trading him maybe to a Colorado team, someone like that steps up for a goaltender and get some future assets.
So let's talk already at this point in the season. It's been an interesting start so far here. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the power ratings here. Are you thinking Minnesota is the best team in the NHL right now? Because a lot of people have them rated and ranked. Them and the Devils are the two best teams in the NHL. Is that how you're seeing it right now?
Well, until someone beats Florida, they're the best team in the NHL. All right, they've gone to back-to-back cups. They won last year. That's a team no one wants to play in the playoffs because they are built for a seven-game series to just beat the snot out of you and make you not want to play hockey anymore. It's what they do. All right, so until someone beats them, they're the best team in the NHL. Minnesota, I said Nashville's the biggest disappointment. They might be the biggest surprise. Not that they're in the playoff picture. We thought, okay, they'll be in the wild card hunt, but that they're playing so well. And, you know, Gustafson playing lights out in net that we just didn't see coming. We know Kaprizov, he's probably the best player no one talks about in the NHL, right? We all talk about, you know, your Kucherov, your McDavid, your Draisaitl, Matthews, McKinnon, could go on and on, but no one mentions Kaprizov. This guy's fantastic. Utterly fantastic, having a fantastic season. Certainly could win the MVP award there. Do I think they're the best team in the NHL? No, probably not. Do I think they're better than we thought they'd be? Yeah, immensely so here. They did suffer a loss today, Joe. Eriksson Ek, he's out, their center. And that's a huge loss. He's their top line center. You know, that's going to be a big loss for them. He's going to be out, I think, for quite a bit here. So how they cover for that will be interesting. Remember, last week they traded a whole bunch of draft picks to get a top defenseman. You know, that came out of a draft, I think, 2 years ago. I don't mind the trade. That's going to help on defense. But now you don't have those assets to go get another center.
Who's the most disappointing team so far here? I know a lot of people looking at the Rangers right now and going, so the Rangers were rolling early in this season, and then it feels like they've cratered here. 1-7 in their last eight. Why? What's going on here, Kurtz?
That's a fair question. And yeah, you live in New York here. I mean, we're waiting for the big change. Is it going to be a trade, a release? What's going to happen here? Because the Rangers are cratering.
Really?
They're not playing well. Their team defense is god-awful. It's not a defenseman that's awful. I'm not blaming Fox or Trouba or Miller, but as a team, awful. You watch these games, it's two-on-ones right off the bat. It's like they had no idea how to cover for anybody. You know, a defenseman chips in. Why is the center not covering? Why is a wing not covering? They're not playing team. And it's killing them right now because they're leaving Shesterkin out to dry here. So a lot of problems with the Rangers right now. Eastern Conference, it probably is the Rangers, although they're still just about in the playoff spot. So that hasn't hurt them yet. They did get off to a hot start. Western Conference, we already talked about it. It's definitely Nashville.
Yeah, disgusting here by both those franchises. Kurtz, appreciate it as always, my man. Enjoy the games, game time decisions. We'll be back after this here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in game time decisions here on this Wednesday here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri joined by our good friend Adam Kaufman as we have a loaded slate here in college basketball. Well, we got a pretty good slate here in the NBA as well. And Adam, every time we talk, love to get your thoughts on your Boston Celtics here, that it feels like every time we talk, they're laying 20 points against somebody here, and they're laying a big number again tonight. But I guess it makes sense given the fact Detroit just got bulldozed by Milwaukee last night here. What do you think we're going to get in this one from Boston, who I believe last game had a couple of very key guys out, didn't really make a darn bit of difference here, but is it going to matter tonight to them?
I think it will, because one of those guys who did play last game but is not playing tonight is Jason Tatum. Tatum, of course, the All-Star, one of the faces of the NBA, an MVP contender. He is out. So is Jrue Holiday. So you're talking about two of the team's top six players anyway who are not going to be available. And this is kind of what Boston's lineup has been. Over the last few games, we've seen Jaylen Brown sit. We've seen, you know, Al Horford, Kristaps Porzingis, Derek White. They have missed time. Tonight, it's, you know, these guys' turn. And it's not a good team on the other side. We know that, the Detroit Pistons. That being said, Pistons are fully healthy. And so with Cade Cunningham and company available in that one, and now the Celtics shorthanded by their standards, yeah, Boston should still win, obviously, but we've seen it reflect in the number. At one point earlier today, it was Boston minus 14 and a half. You know, the injury news, it's come down to 12. I'm not as comfortable laying the number with Boston given the absence of Tatum. Would I be at all surprised if the Celtics still cover it? No, I wouldn't. Jaylen Brown missed last game, probably goes out, scores 25 plus. I mean, the guy that really we should be investing in tonight, though, if we're being honest with ourselves, is Peyton Pritchard, the sixth man of the year, as far as I'm concerned. This dude has scored, I think, 25 plus points off the bench in four straight games, I believe it is, or in that vicinity anyway. And he is absolutely going to be, while a secondary option, a guy who is going to get his opportunities, his volume of shots. And his player prop is sitting only at 16 and a half when I was looking at it just a little while ago. So I do like Boston to win if you're thinking about, you know, a money line parlay of favorites or whatever it is. I wouldn't necessarily lay the number. In fact, if you want to get cute, maybe hold your nose and, you know, hope for the best. Maybe even take the Pistons with the number and think that they're going to keep a close game. Again, that's probably, I'm not investing in a side one way or the other. That's probably the way I would do it. But I do love Pritchard's over. I like Brown's over. I'd consider Kristaps Porzingis at 20 plus points on an alt line as well. The scoring's got to come from somewhere, Joe.
Right. Right.
And you know, it was funny because I'm looking at this going, you know, they've really ratcheted up the defense, Boston, too. And I don't know what the Detroit team total is, but I don't think they get it. I just don't think they get there here tonight on the second of a back-to-back after Milwaukee kind of bulldozed them last night. The Knicks absolutely ran over a pretty good Orlando team, or at least was a pretty good team, but they didn't need to win that in order to advance in the NBA Cup last night. The point differential did it for them already. But what do you think now? They go to Philadelphia to take on, well, struggling. Is that a good enough word for Philadelphia? What do you think? Or though they did win their last two games against YMCA teams. So what do you think?
Yeah, struggling's one word. I'll give you another S word. Sucky, since I can't curse here, we'll just go with that. Look, Philly is bad. And you couple that, Joe, with the fact that Joel Embiid's out, Paul George is out, Andre Drummond is out. Like, it's the Jared McCain show tonight. You know, that's the guy that we should be investing in overs on. You know, it's still at a pretty modest sub 20 prop, maybe alt him up 25 points. 30 points, dare to dream. You know, I don't even know that Tyrese Maxey is necessarily someone that goes crazy tonight. I think, you know, you look at some of these recent opportunities when they've been shorthanded. Again, McCain has gone off. How many times on this show in your history have you said the name Gershon Yabusele? How about Yabu with a double-double? This dude went over his rebound prop yesterday comfortably with no Drummond and no Embiid. I think he does it again. And it's still sitting at 6.5, 7.5. I'd go over on him. I don't know if the points are going to get there if you're hesitant about the double-double, but I would chase the rebounds on Yabusele. And ultimately, though, I think the Magic are going to win. You know, I got a little ahead of this last night when it was sitting at -2.5, and that's when I invested in Orlando. It's 5.5 now. Even still, I like it, despite it being the back-to-back, and it's a back-to-back for both these teams, obviously. But I think, you know, despite travel, whatever else, it's a good bounce back spot because, like you said, Orlando is a good team. Think about what they've been doing without Paolo Banchero. I mean, they have won now 12 of 14 with last night's blemish, a game that, you know, it was, I think, a 15-point final, but ultimately they were really never in it. They were down by almost 40 points at one point. The only reason the Wagners and some of the other starters like Suggs stayed in as long as they did is because, for whatever godforsaken reason, this team actually does care about the NBA Cup and potentially winning this in-season tournament. So they did want to stay ahead of the point differential and not fall out so that Boston jumped in, which is what would have happened if this thing had stayed as ugly as it was in the middle of that game. But I like it as a bounce-back spot for the Magic again against a bad team there in Philadelphia.
Speaking of bad, it's not been a great couple of weeks here for the Lake Show, has it? I mean, LeBron's having to answer all sorts of questions about Father Time now. What are they, 2-5 straight up in the last seven? They were beaten by, 19 points or more three times over these last seven? I mean, it is it has not gone good. Why? Because where's the shooting coming from? Reeves was hurt, and LeBron couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. This feels like an under game to me against Miami. Jimmy, who's nursing the knee, I believe is going to go here tonight, but I couldn't sweat out an over in this game. Could you?
No, in fact, again, you know, CLV, closing line value, can be your friend if you look at this stuff the night before and you sort of anticipate where the news is going and injury absences and the like. I got in at under 219.5, and I think it's at 216. That's what I was looking at a little bit earlier.
Yep.
And I probably still consider the under in this spot. You know, to your point, Jimmy Butler is going to play. He's not 100%. Although, if we're thinking about trends to pay attention to, how about this one for Jimmy Butler? And I'm stealing this from my radio partner. He pointed it out to me earlier. I thought it was a great look. Going over on 27.5 PRA, points, rebounds, assists for Jimmy Butler. This is something that he has hit now in 8 of 9 against the Lakers since joining the Heat. Only game that he missed it was because he only played 12 minutes in that game and then left with an injury. So he is consistently reaching basically 30-plus PRA opposite LA. And on the flip side of that, you mentioned the struggles for LeBron James, and what a dad showing his kid what human looks like on the floor, because he is 0 for his last 19 from 3, which is unthinkable. But you mentioned Austin Reeves. He is not playing in this game. And so LeBron, Anthony Davis, obviously, these two guys, incredibly inconsistent lately offensively, as you alluded to. Just when I was getting ready to, you know, praise JJ Redick up and down on the job he was doing as a head coach, they start to hit the skids.
Yeah.
But again, for LeBron, you know, there's a little bit of narrative street in there, too, in his return to Miami, which obviously he has done multiple times since joining the Lakers a half dozen years ago. But 25 plus points all 6 road games at Miami since joining the Lakers. He loves being back there. I think this is it's a buy low spot for LeBron, too. Earlier in the season, when he was putting up all those triple doubles and gaudy numbers, you know, his points line was 25.5, 26.5. It's down to 20.5, 21.5 right now.
Yeah.
I'd take it. I'd go over. I think LeBron responds in the return to South Beach.
Buy low, right? That's what we're always looking to do here. He certainly has a big-time comfort level in this place. So should be an interesting one there tonight. We got plenty of college hoops. We'll talk about a game that you like there, Adam, when Game Time Decisions continues next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on this Wednesday here, December the 4th. We are off and running. Great slate of games here tonight. Plenty in college basketball. Adam Kaufman joining us here again. We just talked about some of these games coming up in the NBA. I did have one more game, Adam. I'm wondering where you see these two teams now. And that being, because to me, Indiana is in bad shape, but it's not that I want to play Indiana, but how in the hell do you play the Brooklyn Nets, who have absolutely nobody available to them? You got to figure the desperation here of this Indiana team, who's got really no excuses against this Nets team. Yes, they played last night, but they lost again. And it's not going well for Rick Carlisle in Indiana, but they're a much deeper team than what Brooklyn's got to roll out there right now with everybody hurt. It's kind of hard not to want to back Indiana to get off the snide tonight.
No, I tend to agree with you, especially with Brooklyn a little bit shorthanded. There's no Williams. There's no Thomas. Nope. Johnson is going to play. So that's obviously significant, you know, on the Brooklyn side of things. But Indiana, I think they're just perplexing, right? You know, even when they are healthy, guys can't seem to figure. Like, it's been a real down year for Tyrese Halliburton, to the point where he's become like a meme on social media. People are just, anytime the guy fails to hit his assist prop, even though he is, you know, consistently at a low number, I realize that people aren't going to get excited by 4 or 5 assists for Tyrese Halliburton when the expectation is 9, 10, 11 every single day. But you know, you can sort of bottom out some of these lower leg achievements and put those together and you know, make a builder out of him, that type of thing. You know, they're like, you're consistently getting, like I said, 4 or 5 assists out of Halliburton. You're consistently getting 10 plus points out of Siakam, some of these guys. You know, it's just hard. It's hard to find the consistency in the Pacers under Carlisle for whatever reason, because this is a team that, you know, played well last year. They go on a good playoff run. They, you know, ultimately were swept out of the playoffs by the Celtics, but it was a tightly contested sweep, if you want to view it that way. Like every game came down to the wire. It wasn't like, you know, they were abused out there the way the Mavericks were by Boston in the finals. You know, they put up a fight. And I think a lot of people came into this year expecting, okay, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference. And there have been some injuries. Like, we've seen Nembhard miss time and some of these guys. Mathurin's taken on a larger role, which is good. I think he's a good player. But you're right, on a game-to-game basis, they're a little unpredictable.
It's kind of ridiculous, and they're terrible on the road. What happened to this team? They were so much fun. They're 2-10 on the road this year, and they're at the Barclay here tonight. But they got to start feeling some pressure after losing 3 straight by double digits, no less. So that's the other game going on here tonight. Interesting slate in college.
Before we get to college though, what do you make of this? I'm fascinated by this Clippers Timberwolves late night game. The Clips obviously back to back. You know, they played last night. Obviously, there's no Powell. Yep. He's out. Harden's put up good numbers, but doesn't this feel like a good answer spot for to take the Clips money line, take the Clips with the points? That you want to talk about a team with inconsistency. How about Anthony Edwards, Timberwolves? You know, the team that everyone just wanted to pencil into the finals last year before they got knocked out by the Mavericks. This team is super up and down.
This is another one of these games. How am I not taking the under in this game? I've got, both teams now in a spot. I got the Clippers off of back-to-back, and one of their leading scorers here, Norm Powell, you mentioned, not playing here. And while they have not necessarily gelled Minnesota offensively, once you took Cat out of the rotation, they've been trying to kind of figure it out there. But I'll tell you what, looks like they've actually figured out defensively and putting the effort in that. So, I mean, they're only allowing about 86 points a game here over the last couple. The Clippers are not going to run up and down the court. It does kind of feel like we should be looking at an under here, because Minnesota's got to show us something. I'm with you here. You got to be able to go on the road. Hasn't been going great, although I got to tell you, that was a pretty good win against the Lakers there the other night. But, you know, you got to travel now. Let's see what you got here tonight. It feels like a 108-102 kind of game, right? Somewhere in that ballpark there, if we're lucky. I do like Minnesota, the effort they're putting in defensively here. I would almost look to maybe even fade the Clippers team total, because after scoring 100, when do the Clippers score 120, almost 130 points outside of playing a G League team in Portland? They got to be exhausted running up and down the court that fast. That is not how they do it there. Tell me what we're doing with Michigan State here tonight. Laying a decent number, what, 5, 5.5 against Minnesota? Is that what we got now?
There's still some 4.5s out there. That's where I bought in. You can still get there, but you're right. There are some 5, 5.5s out there as well. And I did lay the number with Michigan State, and I think it'll be sweaty. It's, you know, it's not like this is a bad Minnesota team on the other side. It's just, you look at, again, Minnesota has been awful at covering spreads this year. Michigan State has taken 8 out of the last 10 meetings, going back, obviously, several years. Yep. And also just Michigan State's kind of been tested of late. You know, we've seen some early season meetings already with Memphis and North Carolina and Colorado and some of these squads. Minnesota has had sort of a lighter schedule out of the chute. And then you work in just the general belief that seems to exist out there that if Michigan State, if the Spartans really do have aspirations to win the Big Ten, this is a game you kind of have to take. And so I think there'll be kind of an urgency factor to it. So yeah, it might be sweaty, but I laid the points with the Spartans.
Yeah, no, I don't hate that look either here. There's a lot of games on here tonight. By the way, Baylor on a 12-2 run right
Good
now,
who has
kind of pulling away here from UConn. But 19-8, still got 12 minutes to go there. And Adam, it should be a heck of a night. College hoops, NBA action. We got to get ready, of course, with a big game to kick off week 14 in the NFL tomorrow. Yeah. Thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the games. Game time decisions. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we've got, well, we got 56 college basketball games getting ready to go here tonight. Couple underway right now, and I'm talking some big-time games with some blue blood programs. Going to be a great night. Why? Well, listen, Feast Week is over with. These individual tournaments that you get to play, you know, cross-country with a bunch of teams you might not usually see during the year. Those are coming quickly, and we're getting into what is always my favorite time of year when we start dealing with conference play. We had some great games yesterday. Anybody catch Michigan and Wisconsin? With all of a sudden Michigan under Dusty May, the former FAU Owls head coach, brings over his big man there to Michigan, and they go into a hostile environment there in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin have been boat racing people, and guess what? Yep, Michigan gets it done late there. So Dusty May already paying dividends as the new head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, getting their first Big Ten victory there. Tonight, you've got other great matchups coming up. I mean, currently right now, you've got the Baylor Bears on the road in stores taking on the newly acquired UConn Huskies here. And boy, oh boy, big run now by UConn to get back into this thing. 21-20 with about 9 minutes to go in the first half. UConn, 24 straight wins at home. We're talking about a two-time defending national champs here. And they didn't have a good stretch there in Maui, but quite honestly, if you drop me off in Maui for a week, I probably wouldn't play all that well either. So they are at home. They are comfortable, and they have a lunatic for a head coach. Should make for a very must-watch television in that one. Also, Big Ten battle going on. Well, it's not much of a battle. Maryland is boat racing Ohio State right now. 9 minutes ago, they're up 25-9 in that game. But I'm looking forward to some of these games coming up a little bit later here tonight. Look at the total with North Carolina. This whole SEC versus ACC matchup right now that we have. Did anybody see how well the ACC did last night? Yeah, let me help you. They won 1 of 9. They were 1 in 9, the ACC, against SEC teams last night. Outside of Clemson winning at home against Kentucky, which quite honestly seemed to be the right side to begin with, as they were a slight dog in that one. But Clemson's an elite defensive team here, and that was the most physical team Kentucky has seen. But outside of that, the ACC is atrocious. Well, they're going to have to show something here tonight, especially when it comes to Alabama taking on North Carolina. North Carolina, if they are the last hope here, them and Duke, who also is taking on Auburn at Cameron Indoor, if tonight we start seeing the ACC rolling, the SEC rolling the ACC again, my goodness, folks, how the mighty have fallen. The ACC not showing up and showing out. Miami is atrocious. They lost again last night. They can't beat anybody. They can't play any defense either. But those two games here tonight, I think, are going to be very interesting. Auburn, who many of us believe, if you've been watching, Auburn's the best team in the country. I don't even think it's close, actually. It's not UConn, not yet. I think Auburn and Bruce Pearl are more than capable of going to Cameron Indoor and beating Duke. I think that's going to be a fantastic matchup here. Another spot where, man, if the SEC shows up and goes to Cameron Indoor and wins, look out. But the total in that North Carolina and Alabama game is hilarious. We're talking about almost 180 points they're anticipating here. I think the total's up to 176, 177 in this Alabama game here with North Carolina at home, a slight favorite in this one here. But what a huge, and I mean huge total for a game where, listen, Alabama is not even shooting threes well. They haven't been good at all so far this year. So I do think UNC is going to show up and show out. Both teams love to run. That should be maybe the most entertaining game of the night. But I think it's also an important one for somebody in the ACC to stand up tonight and say enough is enough. Stop getting bullied by the SEC. We'll see if anybody can do it as we get ready for another hour of Game Time Decisions here on The Grid.